100 and Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.100andhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
It wasn't random. Obviously, it does seem like in all cases there was a very specific target.
An expert on terrorism drawing comparisons between the attack on an Orlando gay nightclub and December San Bernardino shooting.
They were very, very well armed in the sense that they could, they were going for mass casualties.
Kevin Grisham with the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University San Bernardino pointing out that many attacks being carried out in the United States are inspired through social media. He says terrorists in the United States looking for approval from groups like ISIS.
They're continuing to be inspired by an organization that probably does not actually exist in form here in the United States, but that can reach out from places in Syria and Iraq from their strongholds into the United States through social media.
This is authorities clarify the death toll after the worst mass shooting in U.S. history. 49 people shot by the gunman the 50th. This is USA Radio News.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How could you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow-drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The FBI in a press conference confirms Orlando nightclub gunman Omar Mateen's connection to ISIS.
It has been reported that Mateen made calls to 911 this morning in which he stated his allegiance to the leader of the Islamic State. We are looking into any and all connections, both domestic and international.
But the president uses the Orlando tragedy to push his gun control agenda. USA Radio senior correspondent Jason Wirt with more.
President Obama used his public statement on the Orlando terrorist attack to promote his gun control agenda. James Carafano of the Heritage Foundation spoke with USA Radio News and said gun control has nothing to do with terrorism.
I mean, I've been doing the counterterrorism business for 15 years, and I've never met a serious counterterrorism official in the United States who thinks that the answer with countering terrorism in the United States is gun control.
Garofano said law enforcement has stopped almost all the 86 major terrorism plots uncovered since 9/11. I'm Jason Wirt.
This is USA Radio News.
I'm Sean Hayer, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Police say a heavily armed man who claimed to be heading to a Los Angeles gay pride event has no apparent link to the massacre in Florida. Santa Monica police arresting 20-year-old James Howell early yesterday morning on suspicion of possessing weapons and explosive materials. The mayor there crediting local law enforcement for making the arrest. Google is defending itself against accusations that it's manipulated the autocomplete suggestions of its search engine to favor Hillary Clinton. A video created by SourceFed claims that Google's suggested searches are more positive for Clinton. In a blog post, a Google executive explains that the algorithm that Google uses avoids bringing up terms that are offensive or disparaging to the person being searched. The company making that change after the function too often predicted offensive or inappropriate searches about people. Hillary Clinton, by the way, getting the support of the Reverend Jesse Jackson. Speaking in Chicago, the civil rights activist saying he trusts her to work on health care and to fight for the poor and civil rights. Jackson calling her the most qualified and best hope for urban America. San Diego SeaWorld officials say a pilot whale named Bubbles has died. The beloved whale in her 50s dying on Thursday after performing at SeaWorld for almost 30 years. Bubbles was the oldest known animal of her kind living in a zoological park. And the life of Christina Grimmie will be honored tonight in the southern New Jersey town where she grew up. 22-year-old Grimmie was shot Friday night signing autographs after a show in Orlando. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com for the Flemington area. 65 outside right now. Going to stay sunny today, high in the upper 70s. Clouding on the overnight, low in the 50s. Nice and cool after the hot weekend. Sunny Tuesday, high maybe approaching 80. Again, cloudy on the overnight, mid-50s. Sunny on Wednesday, high in the mid-80s. And a chance of showers late Wednesday night, low in the 60s. Again, slight chance of showers Thursday. Otherwise, cloudy, high near 78. And again, Thursday night, a little bit of rain likely into Friday. But clearing up for the weekend. Nights in the 50s and looks like daytime's in the 80s. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the table. Chef Bill's Table here. Your host, Chef Bill Kinslow. Host a little get-together every Monday morning now at the Chamber. Chef locally at Jake's Restaurant here in Flemington. Been there 25 years and keep serving the public. So, this week, actually pretty good food celebration week. I know in the past I did the whole year in food festivals. There's a something every day going on. Some days there's multiple things to celebrate. This week's pretty good. Tomorrow, strawberry shortcake, which would be, I don't know, for us the ideal dessert for this time of year. Strawberries come early in the season, and I know they're available all the time, but right here in the Northeast, that was always the first things that we had, and you hope to have some by now. And I guess the question with the shortcake is, you know, do you put it on a biscuit? Do you do the little sponge cake, angel food cake, pound cake, cornbread, scones? I like the biscuits myself, although in a pinch, I've used the angel food cake, and there's variations on this that berry cake where you take sugared berries and white bread, crusted white bread, and press them. And the bread kind of soaks up all the red juice and kind of disappears there with the fruit. But strawberry shortcake, got to have this, especially this time of year. 15th, Lobster Day, which we're going to talk about lobster. Can't let too much time go by without exploring lobster. We love lobster, offer it many ways at the restaurant and have over the years. 16th is fudge, eat your veggies day on the 17th, which is always a good idea. 18th is sushi, and the 19th, martini. Martini, that classic libation that the name gets tossed around a lot now, and I guess I'm a purist in that sense that the original made with gin. Most people prefer vodka now, but if you think about it, gin was kind of the first flavored vodka anyway. But it matches the juniper, which is the primary flavoring in gin, and other herbs and botanicals can be put in there. And it just kind of goes well with vermouth, which is also fortified wine that, again, has many herbs and flavorings in that. Very complex, even good on its own, if you like. But went to a function yesterday, and, of course, the reception greeted by the servers with the sparkling wine, the champagne was poured, and they had martinis. I said, wow, I haven't had one of these in a long time. And very refreshing. It does whet your appetite. I mean, too many of them, and you may not want to eat, but definitely one. I just wonder why, you know, again, when I started the business, that was one of the pre-dinner cliches, if you will. People will say, oh, a martini, it's a cliche, but well-made and well-chilled on a warm summer afternoon, it really hit the spot, and it does get your juices going for the food that's to follow. You know, it's not sweet. I mean, again, I know now there's so many flavored ones out there, and I guess it's anything that's served straight up in a martini glass is now, I mean, even dessert, there's so many ways out there. But I think people just like a well-crafted cocktail and chilled, but not sitting and diluting on ice. You get that initial flavor. And martini, of course, if you're having it at your, well, you got Father's Day coming up, right? Well, it'd be better than that. But you can make it in a pitcher and keep it chilled. You want to strain it off the ice and then keep it chilled, very cold, chilled glass, and nice, bracing, cold, dry teaser for, as I say, it's a nice pre-dinner cocktail. So bring it back, enjoy them, and even the gins out, there's so many levels you could go. I still like the classic Beefeaters or Tanqueray, but there's many gins out there that have special flavors that you might even like better. So enjoy. But anyway, so coming up, we've got, of course, graduations. The colleges are pretty done, but the high school, middle school, all these celebrations. But Father's Day coming next Sunday. And Dad's Day used to be, oh, let Dad just do what he wants, you know, play golf, whatever. But I think now with everybody working all the time, sometimes it's good to take Dad out for dinner or prepare dinner. And it doesn't have to be Dad doing the work. So you kids out there or spouses, significant others, get on the grill if you're doing something. Give Dad a break. But another, again, you may call it a cliche. It's old school. Still one of those celebratory meals is surf and turf. And since this week we celebrate lobsters, I thought of, well, nothing better than to combine the two. And classically, it's most restaurants, it's we do it at Jake's, a filet mignon, a little bit of each, a nice lobster tail, and some places will use shrimp or other seafood, and a filet or a nice strip steak, New York strip steak. And again, many variations on that theme. We've done even surf and surf where, say, you don't like the red meat, use tuna. And you can cut the tuna to resemble a nice filet mignon, nice and thick, still cook it rare, medium rare, whatever temperature you like. And it could be an all seafood one. But today, I want to review handling lobster. You know, the types that are out there and the ways to... I mean, a lot of people are scared because, you know, it's live and it's... I have to kill it. And just remember, any shellfish has to be live. Now, shrimp, of course, we usually find frozen. Although there are fresh shrimp, but shellfish break down immediately after they die. And, of course, they die a natural death. The stuff isn't good. So even if you're shucking an oyster, shucking a clam, you know, you're essentially, I mean, when you, you know, pick fruit off the vine, you're essentially stopping its life flow. So don't be so squeamish about it. It's just one of those things that we do. Although with lobster, again, it can be a little bit cumbersome. Things flop around. There's the best way to do the lobster, of course, get a pot of boiling water and put the lobster in the boiling water. Don't put it in cold water and bring it up slowly. That's not nice to do. But steam or boil. Boil is better. It's a little gentler than steaming. And you also end up with some water to cook other things in. That's flavored water, after all. And even make some soup, or even reduce some and make a sauce. So we're going to break for a couple of messages and come back and look at, we'll look at the lobster part and how to handle that and some ideas. And then, of course, cover the steak part, and then maybe line up a nice little simple menu for Father's Day or for any time, but would be a good celebratory meal. And doesn't have to break the budget either. We'll maybe suggest some alternatives that may not be as, you know, as expensive or as fancy, but you're still getting the nice treat of Surf and Turf, Chef Bill's Table.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend. Thank you.
All right, we're back at the table here. Chef Bill's table. So, lobsters. What do we look for? What are we gonna, how are we going to fix these things? So, first of all, lobsters, my favorite, of course, the American lobster, North American lobster, has the claws. And the other ones, spinies, rock lobsters, South African, Australian, Brazilian, the Caribbean, those are all no claws. And that lobster meat, some are highly prized, good cold water ones, but they're a little more difficult to cook. You can overcook them, they can get a little tough. And the Maine lobster, or North American lobster, I know the old Ramsay had an issue with that. Somebody was marketing Maine lobsters, they were Canadian lobsters, and that's really more an accuracy in sourcing. I mean, the same species, and yes, different waters, things are going to taste a little bit different, but basically, we've always termed them North American lobsters because they're found from Canada all the way down New Jersey. When they shed in the summertime, they shed the soft shell lobsters. They're not as soft as soft shell crabs, mind you, but the new shell lobsters have a little sweeter flavor. Not as much meat as the hard shells, but definitely a seasonal local product here. So we prefer to call them North American. So those are the ones. One with the claws, usually live in the tank. And now, the nice thing about those lobsters is, yes, you can steam them, boil them fresh. You could cut them up and stir fry them. But they also do reheat well. So to prepare them, and we've done it, did a lobster bake one time, and had solved a lot of people. And if you do the whole lobsters, of course, it's kind of finger food. You're tearing them apart. Napkins and maybe the little nutcrackers and things. What we did for convenience is we prepped them ahead, so we partially cooked them. And the reason we do this is with the lobster tail, the tail meat you can extract from the shell when it's still raw, but the claw and knuckle meat, the leg meat, very difficult to do that. So you do need the lobster to be cooked. So we cook it, for all lack of a better term, medium rare, let's say. They're not fully cooked. But it's enough so you can take the meat out of the shells. And what we do is, of course, the tail stays where it is. You cut the lobster in half and extract the claw and the leg meat, and you clean out the body cavity where the intestines, the stuff that you're not going to eat. Usually when you're having a stuffed lobster, that's where maybe the seafood stuffing would go. But we would put the claw knuckle meat back in there. And then when you're ready to heat the lobsters again on your grill, you don't need really a lot of high heat. You close the lid and you're basically just warming them back up, basting them with some butter or seasoned butter, whatever you like. And you have something that's very easy for your guests to eat because they're split, they're open, the meat's right there, there's no work to it. You do all the work ahead of time. So, and I guess, if you want to make life easy for your guests, that's what we do. And the nice thing about it is you can do that preparation ahead of time. So we've got, our main or North American lobsters, rock lobsters, for all intents, those are the tails you'll see in the market. But fortunately now, you can get American lobster tails. Most of them come out of Canada, but they're processed. So and that's what we've been using for a long time. When we first opened the restaurant, couldn't really get those. We bought whole lobsters. And I've taken those and butchered them, if you will, to try to, get the tails. But just curl up. They're hard to cook evenly. So frozen ones in this case, very good product. And if you're not into the whole lobster, the frozen Canadian or American lobster tails would be the way to go rather than the rock lobster tails, because you can, to me, again, they're just a little, they're more tender and a little forgiving as far as if you happen to cook them 30 seconds too long. Not as delicate as the rock lobster. Although, again, when you're in Florida or you're in places where they're getting the rock lobsters right out of the water, there's nothing better, right? You gotta have that local product. So besides your simple whole lobster or doing what I just described, the tails also work very well. Now, we use lobster tails, obviously, our lobster mac and cheese, for example. Say you want to do, all right, let's have surfeiter, let's do steak, and the side dish would be lobster mac and cheese or maybe lobster mashed potatoes. And what I use is a combination of the raw tail, American lobster tail, that I use because I saute that. That gives a little bit of lobster flavor to your macaroni and cheese mix there, your little sauce you're making. And then I will use the cooked claw and knuckle meat, which is chopped up, and that can get mixed in. Then you need the color. It's the texture, the flavor, the color. You could do it with just tails, but it looks better with the little nice red pieces of claw and knuckle meat in there, which you can also buy already cooked and ready to go. So this is something that, you know, a little bit easier, maybe less planning needed to pull off a dish like this. So we saute the raw tail meat, and then we add some wine, we use our Cajun spice mix, a little heat or cayenne. You could go simple, or you could do Old Bay, anything like that. A little white wine, then the heavy cream, and then we add the cooked lobster meat, claw and knuckle. And, of course, we use the little shells that are already cooked. So we heat the pasta shells up in this kind of lobster cream and then melt the cheese right in. Pack it in a dish and then more cheese on top. We don't use the breadcrumbs. It's all just the brulee, the brown cheese, and bake it in the oven. And simple, delicious, not too floury. A lot of mac and cheese recipes, you're making a white sauce first with flour, and we don't do that. We take just a little heavy cream and melt the good cheddar. We use Cabot's good cheddar cheese right in. A little American, so it helps make the sauce smooth, but basically you want that good cheddar in there. Simple lobster mac and cheese. Another one kind of borrowed, I think, one of the restaurant companies, they called them lobster chops. They were lobster, half a lobster tail wrapped around a sea scallop. And we were doing those. We didn't call them lobster chops, but it's something that could be another variation for your surf part of the meal. Or even if you want to stay like around here, local New Jersey, you could use a monkfish medallion. They always called the monkfish poor man's lobster. I don't know where that, it's not inexpensive anymore. Monkfish used to be a throwaway, and now it's fairly expensive, but good local. I think because the medallions kind of look like a slice of lobster tail, maybe, without the red, of course, but, and the texture is a little firmer than a regular fillet fish, so maybe that's where that came from. But actually a very good combination with lobster. We've done them at the restaurant, call it Rich Man, Poor Man. You know, maybe monkfish with a lobster sauce. But wrapping the scallop or monkfish medallion with a half a tail, skewer it. That could be grilled or baked, broiled, and nice variation on the whole lobster. Another thing, if you have cooked lobster and some scallops that you haven't, of course, cooked too long, slice those, especially if they're big ones, slice them across into nice coins. Lobster and scallops, simple roasted peppers, good roasted peppers that you do yourself. Char them on the grill and let them steam a little bit in a bag and then peel them. Basil, you could add pasta if you like, but those two together with just roasted peppers, basil, a little olive oil, garlic if you like. Very good chilled dish, or could be hot for a pasta, either one. We've done both. But lobster and scallops, good combination, although scallops, good dry sea scallops are not cheap either, but the two together kind of make a nice dish. The other thing, with lobster, now, I think the Times this week talks about aquaculture. Farm raising lobsters. Now, apparently the rock lobsters, some people just call them crayfish, they're able to be farmed, but they're, you know, it's not the not the same as this good harvested North American lobster. But there are hatcheries that make the young lobsterettes, I guess you can call them, and then released into the wild, just like trout hatcheries do. Oysters are done this way. The seed companies, they get the oysters to a certain size, and then they're able to be put out into the wild to finish growing. So, I mean, is that really fish farming? I don't know. It's what we need to do to maintain supplies is we're putting the seafood back in its natural environment. So sustainable ways, I mean, raising lobsters to adult size, 4 or 5 years to get to that market weight. Tried that, but they have to be kept in each one of its own little separate container, if you will, because they are carnivorous. That's why the claws have the band on them there. So have to protect them from each other. So the cost of doing that is it's too much. But raising the lobsters to where they can defend themselves and then releasing them into the good where the rocks are, where they can, you know, keep hiding and growing, stay away from predators, that's what's being done now also. So it's not that you're growing some kind of fake food. It's just giving it a little head start. So aquaculture, mariculture is starting to play a bigger role in sustaining our seafood supply. Just have to make sure that the practices are good, that we're not polluting too much, and we're not altering the fish that much or the seafood. Try to keep it, the pure species. We've got a break for news, and then we'll be back at the table and look more at our lobster and seafood, and also the steak component. You know, the turf. We gotta find some good turf here for our meal. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Authorities in Orlando confirmed the gunman who killed nearly 50 people at a popular gay nightclub early yesterday morning, pledging allegiance to ISIS. Orlando Police Chief John Mina telling reporters that Omar Martin spoke with 911 operators and pledged his allegiance to the terror group. He killed 49 people and injured at least 50 more. He was killed in a shootout with police. His former wife says that he beat her repeatedly and was violent and also mentally unstable.
A few months after we were married, I saw his instability, and I saw that he was bipolar and he would get mad out of nowhere. That's when I started worrying about my safety, and then after a few months, he started abusing me physically.
Later, he pledges his allegiance to ISIS. Officials this morning clarifying that he killed 49 people and injured at least 50 more. Mateen was killed in a shootout with SWAT officers. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphries from Trending Today USA. As I look at all of the best websites in the world, one of the ones that actually kind of brings a tear to my eye every day, and I know a lot of my female friends love it, it's ThoughtfulWomen.org. And Heather Laskin, what do you do at ThoughtfulWomen.org?
Well, Rusty, we have all kinds of stuff on our site. It's basically, you know, stuff that would be interesting to a thoughtful woman. So everything from recipes and tips and tricks, you know, in your kitchen or your house, to inspiring and uplifting stories, to news and political type articles, just kind of the whole gamut of things.
The uplifting stories, that's where you really kind of shine at ThoughtfulWomen.org, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what people tend to really gravitate towards.
It's stuff that you want people to feel good about, a great website to go into the morning, get that nice inspiration every day.
Yeah, exactly. And we love getting to find those stories and share them with everyone.
All right, well, Heather Laskin does a great job. Make sure you check out this incredible website, ThoughtfulWomen.org. That's ThoughtfulWomen.org.
The stars. Pull one down.
All right, we're back at the table here at Chef Bill's Table, figuring out surf and turf. And lobster, if it's something, oh, maybe if you don't care for it or can't get it or don't like it, shrimp also makes a nice surf and turf, and you'll see variations with that. In fact, any kind of, you could do a kind of a scaled down thing. You could do, you know, crab cakes and burger sliders, for example. You could do lobster rolls. We do the sliders at the restaurant. The lobster roll is nice on that split-top New England hot dog roll, which are difficult to get around here. So you need that grilled butter bread, though. Sorry, even though you're having lobster and a little mayonnaise. That grilled bread just helps it. So we toast the slider rolls with butter. But normally you would grill the outside of the roll. The split tops have those open sides there where you can get that, like, kind of that grilled cheese type browning on there. And you pack your salad in that. And I guess the classic now is not, I mean, it was even a hot lobster roll. It's really just a way to eat lobster that, again, very convenient, not messy. You have your lobster meat, and you simply warm it back up in some butter and salt and pepper, and then pack that into that grilled roll. And it's just like eating, I mean, the roll almost kind of melts, that soft dough, right? Those hot dog rolls, they don't, it's not like a focaccia bread. It's got, they kind of melt with the butter there, and you're getting pretty much lobster and butter. Of course, the clarified butter is the standard or melted butter. But also there's other sauces might complement it, too. Sometimes even a dipping sauce with soy and ginger, garlic, soy sauce and sherry. More like almost like a stir-fry sauce. And that works very well also. You got something a little different and not as caloric, right? Still a nice summery sauce. As a matter of fact, we've been doing a surf and turf salad at the restaurant on the last couple of Sundays. We have our porterhouse salad, our marinated porterhouse chips, which are in a soy and orange and garlic marinade. And it goes on a nice spring mix salad, some gorgonzola, nice herb vinaigrette. And we added some barbecued shrimp to that. And a nice little option there. So something lighter on the surf and turf side if you don't want to do, especially if it's a warm day, you feel like a salad meal or a lighter version of it, or even some grilled lobster. We've done the lobster tails on the grill. Easiest way to do those is you split the tail not quite all the way through, just butterfly it open through the top round part of the shell. And what I like to do is with my first two fingers is loosen up the meat from the shell and lay it back in, so it's easier to get that after it's cooked. It doesn't stick to the shell. And you simply grill them shell side down so the shell gets toasty and gets that flavor. Remember, shells are like the bones of the fish like that, so that's going to give flavor. It's going to protect the meat from getting too charred and too burnt. It doesn't stick on the grill. At the last minute, when it's about, you know, cooked through from the bottom there, you just have to flip the tail over and brown the cut side, baste it with whatever sauce you're using, and you've got a nice grilled lobster tail to go along with grilled steak. And remember, boiling lobster, I don't know if I did give you the tip, the timing for a 1 pound lobster, 8 minutes will do you fine to cook it all the way. And then for every pound, you add 3 to 4 minutes. So say a 3 pound lobster would probably take about 15 minutes to cook in the water. And again, you know, if you're cooking lobster to be used later, you've got that water. I mean, you could always use it to cook your corn or your potatoes, or even do that big lobster or shrimp boil with the sausage and everything in it. When you think of it, paella, the way it's made now, can be a combination of meat and seafood. It's always another nice, I would call it a variation on a surf and turf. But we've got to look at the steak part now. And, of course, very easy to buy filet mignons and strip steaks, boneless strip steaks, also very expensive. One of my favorite cuts for the grill is the full sirloin. And if you think of where it's still a nice tender steak, not as costly as the loin or the tenderloin, but certainly that's that same muscle, just an extension of that. In fact, if you know what to look for in a full sirloin, you are getting some of the tenderloin in there also. And so there's, when you go to the market, you've got top sirloin, but look, the name of the primal cut, and I've said this before, has to be the first thing. So you're looking for beef loin, not beef round. If you see beef round and then say, you know, London broiler, that's coming from the leg. That's leaner. It's okay, but it's not as marbled and, of course, not as tender. So you look for beef loin, and there's top sirloin boneless steaks that come from the beef loin that are very good. It's off what's called the butt. But the full sirloins, and these are usually two or, you know, it could be as, you know, a couple, 3 pounds even. So there's one that's called the pin bone. And it's a longer bone, exactly what it looks like. And part of that muscle does include the tenderloin, which is the fillet. Very, very nice tender cut of meat. Then you're getting the other, if you think of a porterhouse that has the fillet and the sirloin, well, this pin bone is right beyond that. So you're, you know, same ballpark. You're only a couple of inches away from a porterhouse there. So to me, that's a very good value. There's the flat bone going further back. Now that bone will get bigger. That also has nice cuts in there. The round bone one, I would say beef loin, sirloin round bone, has the best meat to bone ratio. Still got good tender cuts in there, but there's only one little round bone. So you're getting good value for your money. And then there's what's called the wedge bone, and that's even further back yet. And a lot of times they'll just, at that point, break them into boneless steaks. The wedge bone got a fair amount of the bone as its weight. So I would go pin bone or round bone, full sirloin. But these steaks, you know, instead of doing individual steaks, you're cooking a big chunk and then let it rest, and then you slice it. And I've done, you know, you could do that with a whole tenderloin if you like. You can, you know, a Chateaubriand. I do it with large strip steaks, and obviously a big porterhouse would do that also, where you cook it and let it rest. Instead of each person having a small, thin, individual steak and worrying about who, you know, who gets what temperature, when you do it like this, you can slice it. If somebody wants the meat a little bit more done, you can just flash it back on the grill to get rid of the red color there. But you want it rare to medium rare, so you get nice, the juices are in there, you get the nice yield. Rest it, let it, and slice it, and then your sauce can kind of tie everything together. And also when you're cooking on the grill, you get the, first of all, I would do the vegetables first, and then do the steak, let it rest, and then your seafood last, which takes very little time. Now the sauce for all this, what do we do? Bernays, another classic, all right? We're doing classics today. We're doing martinis and surf and turfs. Let's do another classic. And Bernays, okay, you know, filet mignon, Bernays, old school. You're taking a nice lean cut of meat and, of course, putting butter and egg yolk on it to fatten it up. But, you know, done properly, it's a great sauce. I think what happens is sometimes these things get called cliches because they get kind of messed with. People start taking shortcuts, not following the classic techniques. A good Bernays sauce takes some time. And unfortunately, it can't be held that long because it's the egg yolks aren't cooked all the way. So, you know, 2 or 3 hours, you have to get rid of it. You can keep it warm. I like to make it the emulsion with the butter off the heat and serve at room temperature. And again, using good eggs, good, make sure that you're... you know, you worry about the salmonella, but you buy good eggs from a reputable producer, and you really have very little to worry about. And plus, the acid in there is going to help alter the pH to where you won't have as much of a problem. But a good Bernays, you know, Hollandaise, we know, of course, is lemon juice and the egg yolks and the melted butter whipped in or blended in, so you can make the emulsion, and that's like a mayonnaise-type texture. The Bernays, we use tarragon and tarragon vinegar. So you've got something that's a little stronger in acid than lemon juice. And you really have to make what's called, we call it the tea. So you have your, you could, if you have tarragon vinegar, all the better. But if you don't, even some dried tarragon is okay for this, and some shallots and peppercorns, crushed black peppercorns. And you're going to simmer that and reduce it till it's almost a glaze. So you want that infusion of the tarragon. Tarragon's a fairly potent herb, too. You don't need a whole lot of it. But you've got that reduced vinegar with the shallots, peppercorn, give it a little bit of spice, and the tarragon. And that's the acid that you use when you're making your Bernays. And Bernays, again, it's a variation of Hollandaise. So at that point, you start your emulsion with your egg yolks. I always use a splash of water. And when those are cooked to that ribbon stage where it's just nice and starts to thicken up, you start adding your melted butter. I use clarified butter, is better. Slowly get your emulsion, so like making mayonnaise. And at the end, you put in this reduction with this tea, this tarragon vinegar. And then you add fresh chopped tarragon and fresh chopped parsley and maybe some chervil or some chives. You put some herbs in there, fresh at the end, so they're not cooked. And you adjust the texture with, again, a little bit of the more vinegar if you need to. You want the sharpness. You've got to check for salt. Sometimes a little cayenne pepper doesn't hurt either. And you've got this wonderful sauce that ties the two together. It's lobster and tarragon go well together. And it ties the two together. So don't be afraid. Again, it sounds old school, but there's a reason it did exist. It just got kind of ruined over the years by people not having good culinary practices. We've got a break for a couple of messages, and we'll be back at the table. Chef Bill.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits. Law offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Thank you.
All right, we're back at the table here, winding down another hour. Where does the time go, huh? So, dessert, shortcake, strawberry shortcake, and there's many variations. Main thing, good berries. Trim them now. Sometimes we'll save whole ones for garnish, but really you want these sliced. You want to release the juice. That's what's kind of going to soak into your cake or your biscuit or whatever you're using for the base of your shortcake. So a little super fine sugar is better if you can get it, or bar sugar sometimes it's called. Little splash of Grand Marnier might not be bad. Or if you like orange flavor and you don't want the booze, you could just do even a little lemon zest, or orange zest, rather. If you wanted to squeeze a couple of drops of juice in there and some orange zest. I always do, when I'm using citrus, I try to do that. The skin has the oils in it, which have a nice flavor without the acid. So I try to reinforce with the zest, whether it's lime, lemon, orange. You don't want to get too much of the white pith in there, but the zest definitely will add to it. So, and again, if you're making biscuits, and I'm not going to say, you know, I have this great biscuit recipe. I just remember that big difference, you're using butter, you're going to use shortening. You know, shortening will give you a little bit flakier biscuit. Of course, we're going to add some sugar to it. And for the liquid, I used to make one where I would use heavy cream. So that makes it a little bit richer, puts a little bit more fat in there. If you're using butter to cut in, make sure it's chilled. The less handling, the better. But definitely the buttery biscuit is a little softer texture. Probably, I don't know, I think I would kind of lean toward that. Or at least if you're making them with shortening, use heavy cream for your liquid. Put a little bit of butter fat in there. Why not, right? And of course, we're going to put whipped cream on top. And you're going to whisk that yourself. I'm not going to squeeze it out of a can, right? A little bit of, and the nice thing about it, that is, I mean, you don't need a ton of it. You can control the sugar content. You know, the other stuff, I mean, yes, it's dairy, it's pure, it's this, it's that, but just a heavy cream. And you can whip it softly if you don't want whipped cream that's firm, you can, you know, pipe it out into nice decorations, or you could have it soft. Or, you know, some people might want a creme fraiche, cultured product, a little sour, but you could sweeten that up. Something pretty decadent would be, of course, mascarpone cheese, if you really want to go. If you don't feel like whipping something up, just sweeten up some mascarpone. You could really get a nice topping with that. So for our meal, and also, of course, being sushi week, you could actually start with that. But I'd start with a martini. But nice to go with that. I like a martini with a twist, but olives are certainly very good with it. And a nice olive salad, something that you don't really have to make. You can buy a nice selection. Make sure they're pitted, unless you warn your guests. You don't want anybody breaking any teeth. But it seemed to me with the martini that things like that, olives, you know, maybe a roasted pepper hummus, some grilled vegetables. Asparagus is always good now. And when you grill the vegetables, as soon as they come off the grill, hit them with your dressing. We'll use a balsamic olive oil, or you could use your favorite vinaigrette. But get them while they're still warm, and you don't need that much dressing. You don't want them soaked or swimming. You just want to flavor those vegetables a little bit. That and a nice, you know, a grilled flatbread cut into pieces, something that firm, not doesn't have to be crispy, but a nice way to start a meal. You know, not saying, of course, with the olives, it's not really low calorie, but it's not going to fill you up too much. Just a couple of snacks, and then of course the surf and turf. If you like potatoes. We always, of course, coming from Syracuse area, we like our salt potatoes. Very easy to do. You don't have to worry about, you know, having a baked potato or mashing them. People, you boil them in the brine. They can sit. They're good room temperature. They're good cold the next day, sliced and home fried. You can make salad. I mean, don't have to worry about what to use salt potatoes for, but to get the small, we like to get, of course, when we're up in Syracuse, the new eastern potatoes, the small ones, but I use a Yukon B, Yukon Gold B-sized potato, the small ones. Don't use the red ones. They're the waxy potatoes don't do well with that. You want the small potatoes. So I'd have salt potatoes and maybe a salad. You could do a spinach or spinach and arugula, some grape tomatoes, always ripe, or you could blast them, meaning get them either in the oven or in a sauté pan, partially cooked, kind of release their juice there. Or a classic Caesar. You know, a Caesar salad, I mean, if you want to get some cheese in there somewhere, and that would actually kind of tie everything together if you weren't doing a sauce with your surf and turf. But a nice, well-made Caesar, again, something that's gotten over the years to be, you know, a kind of a cliche. But even if you buy a bottled dressing, which a lot of people do because it's safer, you don't have, you know, again, worried about those undercooked eggs. Although I have made a Caesar dressing with cooked egg yolk. You can still make an emulsion. It's not quite as smooth, but definitely rub the cooked egg yolks through a sieve to break them up, and you can blend that with your mustard, and you will get an emulsion with that. And for a Caesar dressing with the cheese in there, it might be a good option. If you're afraid of uncooked eggs or afraid of the summer heat, you know, having a problem there, you don't want a safety problem. But you can make a Caesar dressing very easy with that. And some people actually do a clear dressing, just do an anchovy, olive oil, and lemon juice, and then add the cheese later. And could also be, you know, a little bit lighter version of a Caesar. But with the surf turf, if you've had vegetables and hummus for a first course, you've got steak, you've got your lobster, as I say, potatoes, and then some kind of either a nice salad alongside, and strawberry shortcake for dessert, and sounds like Father's Day to me, or any day for that matter. So get out there and have some surf and turf. I would even go, you know, in the summer heat, say you want something casual, do a tuna poke, the Hawaiian dish with or you could do salmon, and steak tartare, or do tataki with tuna and steak. Be very nice. Just sear it, and it's still rare inside. That's something that could be set up ahead, again, with some nice julienne, lightly dressed vegetables. Yeah. Wonton chips, you got it. So, yeah, surf and turf, from very fancy and elegant all the way to simple, you can still enjoy your meat and seafood together, and I'd recommend it. Go old school, but do it correctly. Resist the urge to take shortcuts. Good culinary practice. There's a reason these things are still popular. Even the chef of Le Bernard and Eric Ripieri has one. He'll do a Wagyu beef and Escalar, the white tuna, you know, something very, very high-end fancy, but it just seems, wherever you look, surf and turf still exists out there. So don't be afraid. Don't think you're too old-fashioned or not creative enough just because you're having surf and turf. You can actually be very creative, and it's good cooking. So we got to sign off. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week and weekend. Enjoy the start of summer. Chef Bill's Table signing off.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdenhealthcare.org.